This morning, I'd like to go to the book of the Gospel of Matthew in the 20th chapter, begin there. And there's a couple of parables that I'd like to kind of bring some thoughts out. One here in Jesus, both of Jesus Christ speaking. And that last song we sung was titled "The Gospel," and these two, as we go through this, is the 20th chapter, and then the 22nd chapter are the two. And as we kind of go through and bring out some things here, Lord willing, remember that as these parables have to do with the gospel call. It's the gospel call. It's not the eternal call of God Almighty when He calls us into life, eternal life. But it's a gospel call into service. And so there's some things that can show us that here. And there's some, I know the other night, Wednesday night, we talked a little bit more about where Brother Roger was speaking a little while ago in that third chapter of Revelations, of the cold and hot and so forth. And the thoughts that come out even in those scriptures there can have can have a couple of meanings. There's nothing where if you read a scripture and know exactly what that's talking about as far as something maybe eternal, or if it's talking about regeneration versus conversion or something, I'm not speaking of that, but there's some verses that that God can give you and give me, give us what we need out of that. And it could be couple of different meanings, and they're both fine, they're both true. And all, and so that seems, as I went through these couple of the chapters, it seems like it can be that way. But just remember, it's a gospel call. It's not that calling, the regeneration calling to life that God does at some point in your natural life. 20th chapter of Matthew says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." So they are already laborers, and so he's going to hire them into his vineyard to work for him. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." So as we get, I would hear this when I was a kid, and we never got an allowance. We had to earn our money around the house with chores and things, and we'd get paid maybe if I mowed the yard or something, and we'd get paid a certain amount for that. I always pushed for a raise, always wanted more in that. But think about this, is that they were going to be paid a penny for a day's work here. And so he says he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So he's going to this place and these places where these laborers are there, and he's hiring them to work in his vineyard. "And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you." So he didn't say a penny, but he said, whatever's right, I'll give you. I'm going to pay you a fair day's wage. And they went their way. Again, he went about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So that first bunch is the ones he said, this is what I'm going to pay you, this a penny. There are others, he just said, I'll pay you whatsoever is right. And so when even was come, it's the end of the day, their work day is over, and the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Pay them their wage. Now, he told some of them, this is how much I'm paying you. And he ends up paying the others the same, by the way, the penny. But remember, some, especially those that went out the 11th hour, that's at the end of the day. So that bunch at first, it went out that morning and worked. And they worked in the heat of the day, sweating, working, whatever they did. And then you got a few that went, maybe worked an hour. So they keep that in mind, and that comes out here, and I would think this same way. You know, I think if this all happens, like, well, wait a minute. So anyway, he says, and when they came that were hired, I skipped a verse there. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. All that means is the guys that came last, they're going to pay them first and then back up to the ones that came that morning, and then he end up paying them there. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Well, that's what he said he was going to give them. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. They're saying, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I keep going back to when I was just a kid and maybe doing something, and I'd say, well, if my older sister got away with something, I'd say, it's not fair. And my parents, well, life's not fair. I did not like that answer. It's like, well, this could be. So they're complaining and murmuring against them. And I can understand that. And then I thought, had he paid first to last, so had he, let's go back and speculate, had the goodman of the vineyard paid those first ones first, their penny, and they went their way, they might have never known that these other guys later in the day got the same that they did. I don't know. But they were upset at this. You know, it's not fair. They got paid, the ones that worked an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, got paid the same thing we did. But he specifically said pay the last first and the first last. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? So he has them there. Yeah, I agree. This is what I said I was going to pay you. This is what I paid you. And he asked him, did I not say that? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. So he said, I'm not going to change my mind. I'm going to give them the same thing I paid you. You take what's yours and you go on your way. And then in the 15th verse, he says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So he's going to pay them. This is his that he's giving to them, paying them what he deems is fair and what he told them he would pay them is an agreement. And it's his own. It's his. Now, I might complain in my life, I thankfully, I typically more think, as Brother Jeff was praying, and the mercy that we see from God, He said, I see that. It's like, no, I'm not going to complain. I know what I could get if I got what I truly deserve, certainly eternally, but even here. And so many times, I was like, I even in that, my goodness, this could be so much worse, or something just all of a sudden clears up. And that we are in that state, and I believe we have been blessed to see that we're in that state of all those words that Brother Roger listed in that verse, wretched, blind, and all. And so we see that. I think this is everything we get from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His to give. So I'm not going to, who's to say fair, not fair, and all, if within, and I'm talking about not only spiritual blessings, but material blessings. There, it's His. He can do with it what He would. I also think as we think about election, when, and that's a choosing, election is a choosing, that comes eternally before the calling comes. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And then at some point in our life, He calls us. So that's the order there. And when we get in the 22nd chapter here in a moment, that will come out a little bit more. But He can do as He pleases and has. And I'm thankful that we have this righteous judge, God Almighty and a merciful one. And that, and I love that picture because it's not just a fancy or a nice saying that mercy and righteousness met there at the cross. The price was paid. He didn't let a child get away with something that they had done, which is Adam and then all of us in humanity. But that had to be paid, and the Son of Man, the Son of God, did that there at Calvary. So if we look at this, and well, then it says, and let me get this last verse, 16th verse that I want to go over here in this parable. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. Thinking of this as that gospel call to service, if we are truly Christians, that we strive to be Christ-like in our lives, this is a call to service, and we think of these laborers there, they're laboring in that vineyard, in the Lord of the vineyard's vineyard here. No matter how insignificant it may appear of that service, that God, and I think of today in the kingdom of heaven, of which this is, we gather together as the kingdom of heaven, the church, the vineyard of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ, our husbandman. As we serve, we don't all have the same talents in what we do. And I think of the physical labor of the church, but then also the gifts in the church that are given, even for spiritual, just as today, a good example, Brother Roger expressed those thoughts that he had on those verses of scripture. And so that's a gift from God above, to be able to do that and have that desire. God gives us the unction to do that. Someone else may not have the gift to have that desire to speak. They do other things, though. And so it may appear that, well, this isn't fair. So-and-so is only doing this much work, and I'm doing this much work, and so forth. But not that we say, well, everyone has different talents, so I don't have to do that. Everyone needs help, and we need assistance, and we work together. And it's funny how if God's in it, I believe, even in working in a church, it all seems to settle in for the most part. There's always adjustments, that we're blessed, that it all gets done. And if there's something I see, it's like, well, that's not getting in. Well, maybe it's not important to anyone else but me. My wife expresses that at home sometimes. You know, you spend your time doing this and say, well, because I want that done. But maybe she feels something else is more important on one of our lists. So it's like, well, then I need to do that. And so we do that. And no matter how insignificant it may appear, God sees our faithfulness in that work. He sees that. He knows. Again, He knows in our heart. So he knows if I'm doing something just to be seen doing it, or if I truly know, I believe this is my service in the church. I'm serving the church in this way, in this manner. So he knows that. He can read into our hearts. Now, I'm going to go ahead and jump to the 22nd chapter. Now, this chapter, if we went back to the 21st chapter here, in the 23rd verse, it says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching." And so this is who he's talking to. And then Jesus answered and said unto them. So he's speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the chief priests. And then it says that again in the 45th verse of that 21st chapter. "And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them." Like, oh, I see. He's talking about us in this. So they understood that. They got that. In the last verse of that 21st chapter, it says, "But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet." So at that point, they already wanted to take Jesus. And they had said in another place, you know, he must needs die. So here's this punishment cast upon Jesus. Hadn't even been a trial yet. There really never was one. It was a mock trial. So we go on in the 22nd chapter. "Then Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said," and so we'll go on. So he's still talking to the Sadducees, the chief priests, the Pharisees at this point. So in this chapter, again, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son." So he's not talking about a vineyard. And we sing the song, "Here in the Vineyard." You know, I love to live and labor. And it is working in a vineyard. It's based on the wording of Scripture that the poem is. And so the kingdom of heaven is like, here we're talking about a king made a marriage for his son. We're going to talk about a wedding here and in this parable, because he spoke again by parables to them. Third verse says, this king sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. So, that word call right there in that third verse and the word bidden are both the same word. It's the Greek kaleo is the word, and it's to call. So he sent forth his servants to call them that were called to the wedding. They were already called. The gospel call is to those who are already called. That's what this is. There are several reasons that we can see that this calling here, this is not in the eternal covenant of redemption. That's not what this is. This is here in the kingdom of heaven, as he said, the church. But they wouldn't come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden," which are called. So tell them, only them, "Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." And I'd be there, I think, of, you know, a barbecue or something. And I always wonder, what are they going to serve after the wedding? And when I go, and all, like, they wouldn't come, though. They said, come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. So this is what they all did instead of going to the marriage, to that marriage. Now let me come in, then I'll come back. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They weren't worthy. And you can see as we read these verses that it can't possibly be talking about the eternal covenant of redemption, of that. It's not talking about our calling to life in regeneration. He winds up sending, even in that in the vineyard, he sent some away. Here he sends those away. Certain of those who were not worthy did not come. They weren't there. In this eternal covenant that we speak of redemption, all the numbers add up. Go to Romans 8, 29 and 30 down in there, and those five things that are listed, predestinated, justification and so forth, a call, and glorification, the number of people that those five things affect is the same number. It's the same number, whatever that is. And it's massive. Now, somewhere as I was studying through this, I look at, because we kind of know what some of the world, how they interpret these parables. And they'll say, oh, you better answer this call or you're not going to miss going to heaven. You're going to miss being saved. You got to finish up the Redeemer's work. No, that's not how it's. And in fact, one place I read where they interpreted this 22nd chapter, and they used it to prove, to say, make this statement, see, there's just not going to be that many Christians in heaven. Because many are called. This ends up too, 14th verse. Many are called, but few are chosen. That's not election. That's not the choosing in eternity by God. And to use that to prove, I'm so thankful that we don't believe that. And that we do not believe that the primitive Baptist church, the visible militant kingdom of heaven here, does not contain every child of God. Because then there would be just few. Just a few. But many are called, few are chosen. That gospel call, when someone answers that unction within them of the Spirit, when someone joins the church, as Sister Renna did recently and was baptized and all, that's the gospel call here. And we do not do that, as she well knew, that we might save ourselves and wash our sins away. No, that's been done by the blood of Christ. But it's finally recognition and public declaration of that and exhibiting an affirmative answer to that gospel call here. That's the few. Many are called. Not everyone answers that. As we know. When my dad and then his dad before him served as pastor at the church down near Harlingen, Texas. Way down. It was 330 miles from Houston. Once a month, we'd drive down there and back. And there was the man, and we'd stay with he and his wife often when we went. But he died, and he never ended up joining the church. His reason was, no, I'm not worthy to be among you people. I want to say, oh yeah, you're made worthy by the Lamb. You know, you go into all that, and he just felt, and it wasn't false humility. He truly thought, I'm not. But I tell you what, you'd never know he wasn't a member, And I had an aunt down around Madisonville, same thing. She went to her church, but I tell you what, she brought lunch and spread it out there for her husband, who was a deacon, my uncle, in that church and all. But so even those people never answered the gospel call to join the kingdom of heaven. Did I ever worry that they are not in heaven now since they've passed away? No, I saw the fruit of the Spirit in them being exhibited. And so I know that their soul and spirit is in heaven. I think God gives us that clarity on believing that. And especially justification by faith, where we know that we will be there. Because we have been called, but we, in addition to that, have answered this gospel call to work in the vineyard, to labor in it, press into it. In that fifth verse, fifth and sixth, where it says, he sent his servants. Well, now that's another thing. This, in this parable here, this cannot, you can't lay, eternal calling over here on this, as a template, because God did not send a servant, to do this. God came himself. I know Jesus Christ, he becomes a servant. He humbled himself, emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. I tell you what, Jesus Christ is not going to send anybody else, any servant or anyone else when it's that comes that day that he'll call our name, and that we are changed and either resurrected from the grave or see him and meet him in the sky. And so the servants were here, were sent by this king in this kingdom to invite them. And they made light of it, went their ways. One to his farm, another his merchandise. They went off and did other things. Do we not see that today? I can't do that. I've got this to do. And I've got to take care of my business and so forth. Well, we all do that, but God blesses us to balance that out. And some of you have more demanding jobs than I do. I just work for the government, so it's not really demanding. But you do. But we still answer that gospel call, longing for that day that we will retire from that secular job and then be able to spend more time. Elder Hewlin Bass, he would say that his experience after he retired, he was an investment broker, I believe, and up in Lubbock. And anyway, he said, when I retired, I didn't spend any more time than I did before in the study of God's Word. And because people would say, it's like, well, when I retire, I'll do this and that and so forth. And he said, well, good luck with that, that was not my experience. Now, he was a very knowledgeable, blessed preacher, still knows so much. But at this point, I should ask for prayers for him. I think he's blind in one eye, and the other eye is quickly, he's losing eyesight in that as well. So he studied all this. It's not like he slacked off and then, when I retire, I'll double down on it. No, he didn't. He was already doubling down on it. Just sometime ask him how a watch is made. What time is it? He'll tell you how the watch is made. He almost got that backwards. So God bless him. But they all went their way, merchandise, the farm, and so forth. And so when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city, this remnant that took their servants and treated them spitefully and slew them. He sent his armies toward to them, burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. They weren't worthy in how they were acting and what they did and so forth. If we relied on our worthiness to get into heaven, we wouldn't be there. We would not have any hope of getting there. This again, the eighth verse. This is not talking eternal. It's talking about here, because they were not worthy. Go ye therefore unto the highways, many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So call, that word bid and call is all through here. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. So they're just going out on the highways, dragging people here, come to the marriage. Maybe they heard that the fatling had been killed and they're going to have some food there. But it says both bad and good, as many as they found. And the wedding was furnished with guests. So they have guests now for his son's marriage. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. So there's one guest, and they just went out on the highways and gathered up a bunch of folks, brought them down, both bad and good, here, and brought them in and supplied the wedding with guests. So this guy had not a wedding garment on. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He didn't have anything to say about himself that he didn't have that wedding garment on. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now it doesn't, so right there then, it doesn't say anywhere. And this king would not be able to tell. Now this is Jesus Christ speaking this parable. Certainly the way I like to look at this, maybe we can talk about this Wednesday night. We are as part of the kingdom of heaven, the church of Jesus Christ, are to put on those garments, the wedding garment of our husband, Jesus Christ. We're to use this attire, and I'm speaking figuratively here, that we're to robe ourselves in a certain way when we're dealing with those others in the kingdom of heaven and those that are not, the same way. It's very likely that person not within the kingdom of heaven, maybe they were too busy with their merchandising or their farm, and so they said no to the calling into the kingdom of heaven. But how am I to treat them since they are likely a child of God? Treat them just like I would treat anybody in my family is what way I'm supposed to treat them. Way I would treat Jesus Christ if I saw him in the flesh. Treat him the same way. So this wedding garment, the other route that one could go is that he doesn't have this garment of salvation, but it doesn't say, and so not a child of God or not a born again child of God, but it says wedding garment. He doesn't have here. So none of this can fit the narrative that this is the eternal call and you better answer yes or you won't be saved or redeemed. It cannot, it does not fit. And then you go to the other numerous places in God's Word that does not reconcile with that. Go back to Moses again, all the way back there. Then go into the land of Canaan, which is representative of the church, not heaven. And God loved Moses. He called him to serve, and he did. We see that only in this gospel call, the call already called live, living children of God are bidden to come into this kingdom. I don't know of anyone. What reason I have heard of those that will join a particular denomination or a church, a huge church or something, for business reasons, contacts, if you will. I don't think there's a bunch of people joining the Primitive Baptist Church for that reason. These two chapters, these parables here, the 20th, 22nd, as Jesus Christ spoke these words, and thanks be to God that they're in here. This was not left out in those many other words that he spake. But we have it because he was to, and he speaks in parables to confuse the wise, confound the wise. I just called myself a fool, maybe, but not so smart. But he blesses us with that knowledge. When we're able to interpret the scripture as Brother Roger did for that small verse or two right there in Revelation today, we're given that by God. That's all I get, just that penny after I worked all day and so forth. No, but it's of him. It's of God. It's of Jesus Christ. He can give us what he will, and he does through his mercy and then his grace. So I'm so thankful to realize that. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now.
Open doors to the church, anyone who's not an